Good morning, May 13th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition ranges from South Africa's drug user rights movement to a same-day funding deadline for federal investigations training and technical assistance. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news and reporting, Filter looks at what comes next for South Africa's drug user rights movement. Opioid Data Lab also has a broad national data-focused piece titled The Year in Drugs 2025. Elsewhere, STAT has published six takeaways from its investigation into the U.S. alcohol epidemic. And Talking Drugs features a piece titled It's Not the Drugs: Sexual Violence Under Prohibition and Patriarchy. In the Social Pulse, one lived experience post on LinkedIn comes from Janice V. Johnson, who writes that she is honored to work as a specialist in substance use recovery because it lets her give others hope that they too can recover. She also speaks as a mother who struggled with substance use while raising her children. A couple of very different public-facing signals also stand out. The Linwood Times shared a warning post about fentanyl mixed with emerging synthetic drugs, describing today's illicit supply as more dangerous, more deceptive, and more deadly than ever, and repeating the message that one pill, one try, can kill. In a separate item, SciPost highlighted an experimental drug developed using artificial intelligence that showed promise in treating opioid use disorder in rodents by significantly lowering fentanyl intake through serotonin receptor targeting. Then there is a contrasting opposition message to note. A post on X argued that harms rose sharply even as billions flowed into services, shelters, and housing programs, and claimed that policies like Measure 110 coincided with visible disorder, open drug use, and slower treatment access. That is best understood as an example of opposition framing around decriminalization and service policy. Turning to research, BMC Public Health has published a study on access to non-police crisis response for people who use drugs, drawing lessons from community safety response programs in two U.S. cities. That is one to watch for teams thinking about alternatives to police-led crisis systems. Another paper examines drug checking samples from police departments and community-based programs in Massachusetts, under the title Source Matters. It points to a practical question that many programs already face. Where samples come from can shape what patterns are visible. And in pre-hospital emergency care, the National Association of EMS Physicians has released a position statement and resource document on the role of emergency medical services in addressing opioid use disorder. That could matter for agencies refining how EMS connects overdose response with ongoing care. On the policy front, a federal final rule places CUMYL pegaclone in Schedule 1. At the state level, Minnesota has established 21 years of age or older as the legal age to possess kratom. In funding, one current opportunity is from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, the Fiscal Year 25 Comprehensive Opioid, Stimulant, and Substance Use Program, or COSUP, Investigations, Training, and Technical Assistance Opportunity. The deadline is today, May 13, 2026, so this one is immediate. Also current, the Centers for Disease Control has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, opportunity through NCIPC, with a deadline of June 8, 2026.
And the Smart Family Fund is accepting open pitches through its Angel Philanthropy Program, with first-time grants ranging from $25,000 to $100,000. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, in activism, Students for Sensible Drug Policy is urging people to contact federal representatives to decriminalize cannabis now. And the National Council for Mental Well-Being is calling on supporters to tell Congress to release delayed SAMHSA funding opportunities. If that SAMHSA push is relevant to your work, it may be worth checking whether any delayed opportunities affect your planning cycle. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.